Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jackson Brown, Pretender.
You know this.
So this is in your wheelhouse, right?
You knew this, but you had no clue who Phil Collins was 4 weeks ago.
I know this. This is like 1975. Easy for me.
I love Jackson Brown.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
He's got a nice voice.
Yep.
Speaking of Brown.
I got a problem with the song, The Loadout.
Why?
Because he's begging the people to stay so they can play some more. It's not a good look for a rock band. Please, won't you stay just a little bit longer? We want to play longer. It gives the notion that the audience, look, we just want to go home. You played your concert. We're done with you guys. And they're begging the audience to stay.
It's an homage to the roadies, the guys loading up. It's an homage to them. He's crediting those who allow you to keep doing this. We have to wheel out all the.
So you think he's singing to the roadies? Oh,
yes.
Won't you stay just a little bit longer? Because the roadies were going to leave.
Explains the whole thing.
The roadies were going to go home.
Well, he's explaining how the roadies are the ones who allow you to extend the concert.
I understand that, but at the end, he's begging the audience to stay in their seats so they can play a longer encore.
It's a way to get into the whole stay thing from I forget the performance.
It's contrived, Dan.
Yeah, I liked it. It worked.
Speaking of Brown,
yes.
You need to be careful, everybody, because there's a camera over your shoulder. And you remember when Felger got busted for looking at crazy pics at the other place. You're looking at pictures of monkeys.
Well, I'm looking
at a big brown monkey. It's a baboon on a golf course that ripped some guy's face off.
I follow a lot of golf stuff on Instagram.
It's unbelievable.
And the golf channel.
You got to retweet this out.
Is sending all this. They've got all this footage from this tournament in South Africa where there are.
This ain't a monkey. It's a freaking baboon.
There are baboons and monkeys, and there's all these like exotic creatures all over the golf course. And when they come running, the golfers, they run for cover. I mean, look at the size of that thing.
Dude, you remember that lady? Remember that 2 years ago, a lady in Connecticut? She had a pet baboon.
Oh.
It ate her face.
Yeah, ripped her face off.
Tom McCone.
Yeah, so I understand people are looking at this over my shoulder on the simulcast, but look at this guy get out of the way. Oh, but the monkey wants my golf ball. I guess you can take
look
it.
Look at the size of that baboon. I mean, that's a big one.
All right, I'll turn it off.
That thing's got claws, teeth.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us here. Dan, we'll get to all kinds of stuff with you today. We got sign stealing to talk about. We got Celtics to talk about. But first, we should talk about J.D. Martinez opting into his contract. This come as any kind of a surprise to you?
A little bit. I mean, being at the World Series, the kind of prevailing thinking out there among people who talk to Scott Boras a lot and other team executives that he was going to opt out. And I think the Red Sox have to have been clued in as to that he was going to stay, because that would be not good if they were preparing for one and then got hit with the other. I hope it wasn't much of a surprise to them in terms of their planning. But assuming they knew, it was a surprise to us because it just felt like he has no attachment here. Doesn't make him a bad guy. And he wasn't particularly pleased when he came here. He thought he'd do better that offseason. He signed very late, you know, before the game started in spring training.
Well, there was collusion.
Yeah.
You know, it was media collusion to keep
sure.
that number down.
Now, this guy's not stupid. So he knows what the market's going to be. He's got the best agent in baseball. So the agent's probably telling him, hey, we can get you out. I can't guarantee you I could get you the average per year, the same that you're making here. You're in a good spot there. And this is what drives me. And this is why I can't stand these type of contracts. Because it's built into where I could see how it goes this year. And if I could bounce and make more money, I'm out.
Right.
Like, there's no, I'm going there. I'm signing a 6 to 8 year deal because I want to be there and I want to play in Boston. I want to be a Boston Red Sox. You know, I mean, that's what I want to be. This allows a player to come here, get your feet wet here. Make money, use it as a springboard.
You're right.
These contracts piss me off.
Well, he settled.
This is why it's hard to attach to this player.
He settled, and he's still settling. He's only here because he couldn't do better elsewhere.
He just told you a month ago he likes to move around. He was trying to create
last day of the season.
That's not true. His agent.
Oh, no. He told you. We played the audio, and we also played the audio that they can't afford Mookie
Betts. Now Scott's reinventing it.
His agent, Scott Boras, explained it. He said J.D. wanted, by the way, I need to hear this to understand why he's speaking in sentence fragments. JD wanted assurance of competition at a high level and the fact that he played so well in Boston. What? Yeah. What did he want? We looked at it, and with those two things in mind, okay, assurance of competition and he played well in Boston, those two things in mind, that was the focus.
No, it wasn't. The focus was the White Sox wouldn't do better, the Rangers wouldn't do better, the Yankees wouldn't do better. Okay, we'll stay.
No. It was assurance of competition, and he played so well in Boston. The contract that we structured allowed him choices after each season. It was something that, in this year, at this time, we felt like it was the best.
Well, is he a DH? Is he an everyday player? What is he?
That's a problem, Zoe. And again, the market is limited for him because the National League is off the table, so you've only got half of baseball. And within baseball, in the American League, Angels are set. Yankees are kind of set, depending on how you look at it. You know, the big money teams, a lot of them, they aren't going to pay for another guy there. So it was Chicago, Texas, maybe the Yanks, and it didn't come. So that's it. Scott Boras had J.D. Drew 10 years ago, whenever that was, with the Dodgers. And people were like, he'll never leave. He's making a ton there. And then he walked away from all this money. Like, why would he do that? Signs with the Red Sox half hour later. He did that because Scott found out someone would pay him more, someone bidding against themselves. Well, teams are smarter than that now. Didn't happen with J.D. Martinez. It could still happen next year. I doubt it. This is your guy.
So he explains it, Boras does, J.D. Martinez, in terms of the DH role. He says he's an elite bat. He's a franchise bat.
True.
It's different than what DHs are usually to most teams. We look at him as an elite bat, as a franchise bat. If that's the case, why is it such a tough sell? Why wouldn't he be able to go out there and get more money? Because, like you said, other teams, they've caught on to this. Enough teams have been burned enough times in recent history to know that, no, it's all fine and good, but unless we have the perfect need for him and he fills an absolute specific role in our team, we're not going to throw a bunch of money at him just to get an elite bat. If you already have it or you have those roles filled, spending all that kind of money, is it going to translate to more wins? And teams are looking at it and they're saying no.
Hardy, it's become a position where people save money. Rather, they don't invest. It's not the old days of having the professional hitter on your bench who's making a bag of money from his earlier service. And the last half of his career, he finishes it up as a DH like Rice did, Don Baylor did, Harold Baines did. I mean, we can go back, and that position has pretty much been erased from the game. You still have it. Anaheim, Pujols is doing it.
Don Baylor.
David Ortiz will go down as the last of the great DHs who was doing nothing but. And JD is on a path to that because he is limited. I mean, he missed like 30 games this year with his back. They spotted him very rarely in the outfield. And National League's out of play for him. So, he's a DH. See what he can do. And has another year like this, and somebody's got the need, could happen next year. Could find greener pastures. I don't think so.
Okay, so the real question is, what does this mean for Mookie Betts?
Well, that came out when all the, when they found out, oh my God, you mean we have JD? It's a lot to support the two salaries because Betts is going to be a high ticket, high 20s, and Chaim Bloom, this is his charge, part of the deal with, having Sale, Eovaldi, and Price making $80 million, this is why, a guy like Jackie Bradley has to be traded because you don't need to pay $11, $12 million for what he does now, which is hit .225 and not win a gold glove and strike out 155 times. But, not anything against him, but that's what he does.
Well, you're saying in his 10th year, he's not going to continue to develop and become a no,
exactly.
Do we know what Jackie Bradley Jr. is at this point?
He's 30 now. So, yeah, so I think they will cut back where they can. But, yeah, the Betts thing, this is going to be interesting the next few weeks, months, and lead. I think he'll play here next year and then leave after next year. That's what I think.
What do you think of Heimblum so far?
I haven't, I was at the World Series. I missed all the stuff, but, he sounds a little robotic, and he's obviously a smart guy and did a lot of great things in Tampa. This is a tough, I think he's, I'm like, good luck to Heimblum.
He's very careful. He's very careful so far in what he speaks, what he's willing to say, which is not much. Robotic is a kind way of putting it. There's not a whole lot coming from Heimblum that would give you any indication as to what he's going to do, how he's going to proceed.
Good.
So, we're playing it close to the vest. All right, the Astros sign stealings story that was really laid out well in The Athletic has some interesting local ramifications.
Yes, it does.
We're going to talk with Dan about those next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Of course not.
Come on. Ace. You know who this is, Dan?
Of course not.
Come on. Ace of Base. Get it? Ace.
Oh, they sang The Sign. I remember
The
Sign.
Yes!
They sang The Sign. They sang The Sign. No one's gonna drag you up to get into the
life where you belong. Dan has given us so much over the years.
Pretty proud of that one. I was quite proud of knowing that Ace of Base sang The Sign.
So,
odds were astronomical.
Yeah.
It's a pretty popular song.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but
that's after Woodstock, so it's not likely I would know it.
From the same guy who thought his name was pronounced Dr. Dre, the fact that he knew that Ace of Base sang The Sign.
It was a long shot.
I mean, that's an upset. Huge upset.
Did Ace of Base have like three hits on that album? Like three.
I think that's
one.
The only thing I've ever. That's it.
By the way, I totally just ruined my screen. I don't know what's going on here.
It's a big club.
All right, here we go. So, big story in The Athletic here about what's going on with the Astros and how they allegedly stole signs electronically in 2017. I don't even know if there's any alleging about it anymore based on
this is great.
The people that they have confirming this story.
I love the creativity of this.
This is a really good piece from Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick in The Athletic. And they lead up by saying, number one, MLB hasn't published any club, publicly anyway, for violating sign stealing since 2017, when it was the Red Sox who got popped for it.
Not enough.
But they say four people who were with the Astros, four, in 2017, including pitcher Mike Fiers, said that during that season they stole signs during home games in real time with the aid of a camera positioned in the outfield. And now an MLB investigation into the Astros' culture is ongoing because of the team having to fire their assistant GM, Brandon Taubman, that idiot. So now they're really looking into this. But this is what got it going. It was the fact that Fear started talking about it, I think, when he went to the Tigers, and he said, yeah, be careful playing these guys. They steal signs, and here's how they do it. And he said he thought it was Bush League when it was happening. He said, no, that's not how you play the game. That's not what's supposed to happen. So, number one, Dan, you can't be surprised at this. It's been going on for a long time, but maybe to the extent with which they did it?
Well, there's two magic words to this story, which you have not yet uttered. Alex Cora.
Oh.
And this is, in my view, I don't know where this is going. Manfred has been very weak on this thing to this point, going back to the Fitbit thing, which we called the Apple Watch thing in 2017 with the Red Sox. So John Farrell was manager then. And they got caught red-handed. They got a slap on the wrist. It was nothing. And then the Yankees had some camera stuff going on. The Sox countercharged, and they got fined a little bit for that. I thought those sanctions were incredibly weak by Manfred. They were caught red-handed. And then a year later, during the playoffs, the Astros were caught red-handed with a camera going into the Sox dugout during the playoffs. And, of course, by that time, Cora was here, And the penalties were light on that one as well.
Well, they were just making sure the Red Sox weren't cheating. That's what that guy was doing with the camera.
No, it's the old, you know, in the sting when Newman's on the train and he says, what am I supposed to do, accuse him of cheating better than me? You know,
you're cheating, you're trying.
So, but Alex Cora, and we love him, and he's really good at this. He's good at this organically. He's a good sign stealer in the legal way to do it. Watching guys tip and pitches, patterns, positioning, he can figure out stuff. Beltran also is good at it, was the best player at it. And the 17 team that beat the Red Sox, Beltran got his last hit in the big leagues. I think it was against Joe Kelly or somebody. And it was talked about how he was helping the young hitters with tipping pitches and the things on the bench. What we didn't know was what else was going on, which is what's come out in these stories in The Athletic. I think Evan Drellick has been at the forefront. Passan's been doing stuff, Rosenthal. And it's deep. And it was a system, and the splits home and away for Altuve and some of these guys are remarkable. They killed everybody. They won the World Series. This reminds me of when Canseco was caught red-handed with steroids, admitted everything, and Mike Greenwald wanted to be MVP because he finished second that year that Jose ran away with everything in 88. Well, now the Dodgers are going to be saying, hey, aren't we the World Series champs now? What the hell was that all about? But Alex Cora, you're the bench coach of the Astros. 1 year. 2017, and he's the master of this in the organic way and maybe in the electronic way. We don't know that, but the notion that he wouldn't, at the very least, be really versed in this and at most be the ringleader of this.
So let's.
He has already talked to Major League Baseball, by the way.
He's already talked about.
Yes, he has. That was the extent of what he was. I heard him on the radio this morning. He would only say he's been interviewed by MLB. He had no further comment.
Well, there was no mention of names in the story, but what it said was that one was a hitter who was struggling at the plate and it benefited from a sign stealing with a previous team, and another was a coach who wanted to help. I'm just here to help.
Well, I mean...
They also said they believe that opposing teams were doing the same thing, so that gave them a little wiggle room and said, oh, if they're doing it, then we can do it too.
No, and Joel Sherman of the New York Post had the best solution to this. It was in the Post yesterday, which is when the game starts, turn off all the electricity. I mean, obviously you need to have your lights and everything, but that's it. Dugouts, no more JD with the pad, looking up everything. You know, no nothing. You can't go into the clubhouse during the game, which no other sport does. I mean, if guys are hurt, you know, I guess they go back there.
Yeah, but, I mean,
in and out of the clubhouse the whole game, that should go away.
Yes.
Just all this electricity and these devices and all this stuff goes away. When you're at the games
now. Do you think you should have an iPad? Do you think there should be you should have the ability to have an iPad to look at things and statistically or
no, not now.
Or graphs?
No, they can't.
So they should be banned from dugouts.
When you're at a game now and I'm at the World Series, the delay is such that you look up at the screen and, you know, you see Scherzer throw a pitch and then you look up at the screen and the batter's still, you know, the world hasn't seen this yet. And then, like, sometimes there are two pitches behind before you see that pitch. And
it's like a football stadium.
They're doing that now, I believe, in order to make sure that you can't be sending signs to the hitters up there in real time.
But
with the TV broadcast.
But if you put your own camera on a dedicated feed to monitors in the hallway going from the dugout to the clubhouse, and obviously, this seems obvious now, but in the article, the Astros setup required technical video knowledge and required the direct aid of at least some of the baseball ops staff.
They're cheating their ass off, the Astros. Everybody knows it.
Yes.
That's why people were so rooting against them in this World Series. I was in the Nationals dugout earlier, and you know they were like, I forget which of their pitchers was like, they had a camera on me while I was warming up like in the afternoon. It's like, what
See,
are
the first
doing
thing, first thing I do when I go in is I try and figure out which TV or which screen or which Jumbotron is live. There's usually like one live feed within that stadium. Because I'm always looking for the end zone view, and I'm trying to help Bob, because when you watch field goals from wherever we're at, and we have some horrific angles, they're tough to see at home when we're in a 50, whether it goes through or not. So I'm like, okay, boom, Bob, I got this monitor here. This one's the live one. So you can watch this to tell whether or not the kick is good and see if it goes between the uprights. Because most of the time you can't see.
Sure.
And you're waiting, and it's such a delayed call. But for that, I mean, I don't know how it would help in other sports, but they perfected this sucker, man, to where they're sitting on a – Artie's got details of the massage table, and they're beating on a
– banging on the trash can.
And you could hear it.
So here's what they said.
During the call of the game.
A feed from a camera in center field fixed on the opposing catcher signs, hooked up to a TV monitor placed on a wall, steps from the team's home dugout at Minute Maid in the tunnel that runs from the dugout to the clubhouse. Team employees and players would watch the screen during the game and try to decode the signs sitting opposite the screen on massage tables in a wide hallway. Now, so you know the signs.
But they have a separate camera zooming in from center field on the catcher.
But knowing the signs isn't enough. How do you get that information to the guy at the plate?
Bang on the drum all day.
Listen to this.
This is great.
This ball's crushed to left field. Springer has just hit his 31st home run.
So apparently, there was a system. Apparently, one bang means change up, because in this particular at bat, the bat stays on the shoulder up until
it's his 31st home run.
Well,
takes this
the ball is halfway to the plate because he knows it's a change up. If it's 97, you know, he's got to start swinging at that thing before it's even out of the pitcher's hand. But instead, he waits because, again, you hear it before the pitch is thrown.
This ball's crushed to left field.
Yes, it was. So, is there any doubt? Is there any doubt this was going on?
Manfred's got to be decisive on this one. It's going to be tricky.
Well, let me tell you. People just around the game are pissed. Because if you want to steal signs, if you're a runner at second, and you can pick something up and you can communicate it to your teammate who's at the plate, that's part of the game.
Yep.
But when you start using video feeds and TV monitors, and you're banging on stuff because you're looking at stuff while you're sitting on a massage table, that's where guys like Mad Dog Russo lose their minds.
Yes, and I agree with that.
It's about time you wake up, baseball. Get moving. You read the quote, the money quote in that story with The Athletic? They said, and a rival executive, baseball's done, quote, a piss poor job of managing this stuff the last 5 years. Quote me. Piss poor. Quote. My God. Stop worrying about all this nonsense. Get stop with these investigations. Come down hard on them. Every guy who does this from now on, you get an automatic suspension and your team is in trouble and you lose your draft picks. That garbage will stop in a minute. Those godful, they love those draft picks. Take them away. Take them away. And you'll notice all of a sudden now these teams will say, you know what? No more camera guys in center field. Trying to figure out what pitch is coming on some godforsaken, awful, crappy game in June between the Mariners and the Rockies. I mean, really? My God. And I'll tell you something, if you're a player, you know, you should be disgraced yourself if you need to know what pitch is coming to be successful in the big leagues. That's another aspect of this which is disturbing. I wouldn't want to win that way if I didn't want to win that way. Let me beat you straight up. I get the sign from the guy who got the double. He's on second base. That's one thing. I got to rely on some $22,000 a year guy in the outfield looking at some asinine center field camera and some weird contraption and some weird messaging so I can find out if it's a curveball or a fastball. Really? I should quit if I'm not bad, if I need that. Find something else to do with my life. My God. Down in the Astros. I'm down in all these teams that do this garbage. Ruining the sport. And it's about time, baseball. This has been going on for a long time. The baseball's done nothing. Let me get this straight. Rosendahl found out from fires and MLB did not. That's a joke. That's a joke. Get going, Rob, now.
That's good, strong commentary.
That's
there.
Russo.
There's a Pete Abraham of the Globe. Talked to Alex Cora this morning. At this time, MLB and the Astros are conducting an investigation, said Cora. It would be irresponsible on my part to comment while it's going on.
And it would make me look really, really bad.
And I heard him on another radio station say that he has spoken to MLB.
All right. So we'll take your calls on this. And we got a bunch of other calls here to get to. People want to talk to you while you're here, Dan. So let's do that. On the other side, Tim McCone with the Hub headlines here. And then more on Zolak and Bertrand.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This ball's crushed to left field. Springer has just hit his 31st
for really doing an outstanding job selling that Dodge Hellcat Red Eye and being 12 degrees off on his time and temperature.
12 degrees off, you
35
were?
Degrees, McCone, not 47.
I went Celsius. That was my fault.
Yeah. I understand that.
No, I was busy eating this delicious roast beef sandwich that was dropped off.
Oh,
there's
studio.
A roast beef
nice.
Out there?
Yeah.
All right.
We're outstanding food drop.
All right. We're gonna thank McGreevy's right now.
Sure, since McCone's eating in studio. Absolutely.
I don't have any of the information. I mean, I assume McGreevy's on Boylston Street. Enough
yes.
said McGreevy's.
Yep.
Yeah. I love McGreevy's. When I have people in town and they want to, like, you know, meet somewhere for lunch, I will oftentimes say, let's meet over at McGreevy's because the food's excellent and it's just...
good wings, good Reuben.
Great atmosphere, but the food.
Here's why I give them credit. Whoa. Normally when you travel and you deliver food in a food drop, the French fries usually get soggy, right? You put it in styrofoam, it gets soggy. They deliver tater tots in styrofoam. They're crispy.
Wow.
I don't know how they did it. Don't know how they did
crispy
it.
Crispy tots.
They know what they're doing.
Before we get back to the phone calls here, it's not like this athletic story is brand new. Other people have written about the Astros cheating before. One of them sitting with us right now, Zoe, Dan Shaughnessy, wrote about this, a year ago?
I found this October 17, 2018. This was in the middle of the Red Sox beating the Astros in the ALCS last year, and the stuff started to come out. And I said, you know, took on a new dimension when the Boston Metro first reported a guy with a camera working for the Astros was kicked out of the photographer's well by the first base dugout at Fenway during game one.
I remember that.
Turns out the same guy got the heave-ho in Cleveland when the Astros were beating up the Tribe in the division series.
Right.
And that, of course, leads to Terry Francona telling the Red Sox, watch out. So this was Spygate comes to baseball. And in the middle of all this, you have Cora, who won the championship in 17 with the Astros. The Astros evidently think he's ratting them out now that he's trying to beat Houston with his new team. I'm not the first to conclude that this makes Cora the new Eric Mangini.
You
know, so like he goes, you know, from one place to the other.
Fredo.
Yeah, that's right here. It's in the next paragraph. Fredo. Thank you, Bill.
Is
right
it really?
Oh. Yes, yes. And I said, you remember Mangini, right? Won a ring with the Pats, was hired away by the Jets, told NFL security about Belichick's camera tricks. Jets caught the Pats videotaping, and Mangini became dead to Bill, as in, I knew it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart.
You broke my heart.
The Astros claimed they were only playing defense, quote,
right.
When they were aiming cameras toward the Red Sox dugout. I asked Houston GM Jeff Luhnow if the Astros are particularly worried about Boston because of Cora, and he said, he worked for us last year, so clearly he knows everything that we're doing. That's the way it works in baseball.
Yeah.
Coaches and...
Well, think about it.
Players and coaches and front office members go from one organization to another from year to year, so I think he has a general feeling for what's going on.
And it's not like you
he
have
a... He knows how we're cheating. Yeah. He knows that we're cheating.
It's not like you have a 10 or 16-game regular season where, maybe something slips by some... When you do it for 162 games and you're 14 days on the road, everybody's in the loop.
There are some uncomfortable correlations that you can draw if you're a Boston sports fan when you start talking about the Astros and more than one allegation of not playing by the rules. I'm saying this in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, their guy
makes some people uncomfortable, though. Does it make you uncomfortable?
I would respect him more if he said, yeah, I knew what we were doing. And everybody tries to look for that edge in baseball. And
be good advice for anybody in that situation.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the worst things you do, you know, there's an ongoing investigation. I have no comment this time, you know, but I did speak to authorities, so we're going to drop this.
The camera guy was named Kyle McLaughlin. And again, this is against the Red Sox in 18. While the Pats had Matt Estrella, Matt Walsh, Jimmy Hotfingers McNally, and John Dorito Dink Pastrzemski, the Astros have Kyle McLaughlin. He was the one with the camera at Fenway, and there are photographs of him wearing an Astros badge and standing alongside team owner Jim Crane with the owner's private plane in the background. McLaughlin deleted the Astros from his Instagram biographies during the series.
Scrubbing the social media feeds.
He's a young man in college, said Luhnow. To put him in an article, to put his picture out there is very irresponsible. So
it's kind of irresponsible to electronically steal signs at Major League Baseball games, too. That's irresponsible.
Luhnow said, when we go to opposing ballparks, we look around. We are going to continue to have our eyes open. We want to make sure our players have the best chance out there. Well, they certainly do. So anyway, this didn't really go anywhere. The penalties were minimal, I think. But the notion of the fact that Cora was right in the middle of all of it, wins the World Series with them in 17, beats their ass in Houston in 18, and now is being interviewed by MLB today, yesterday, whatever.
All right, let's grab some calls here. Jake in Boston wants to talk about the Astros scandal. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, Danny, you made it a point to say the word organically a lot when it came to Alex Cora's role with this. When they find out he was one of the key masterminds, what should the suspension be? This is far more deliberate than anything Bill Belichick did. So, you know, given the outrage around Belichick, maybe a year, that'd be a good place to
start. Oh, I agree. This doesn't even hold a candle. The Spygate doesn't hold a candle to this.
I had a feeling.
This is far worse. And let's not forget, as you just mentioned,
this
there
is
was
in
an
game.
Astros staffer removed. And how do you think Alex Neely was suspicious? And in that ALCS, they had 18. We're talking about the Red Sox. 18 of 40 hits with two strikes. They hit 364 with full counts in that ALCS. Not only do they know what was coming, I want to know where Alex is cheating at Fenway Park. I'm trying to think about those first two rows right next to the dugout where they have those TVs strategically placed. So if you're in the on-deck circle, you can certainly see what's on those TVs. I want Alex Cora treated like another Alex in this town by the Boston Globe. When will Bob Hoeller go after Alex Cora like Alex Guerrero? And we know Tomasi's rummaging through his Rolodex trying to find his next Mike Pierce. I'm out.
Wow. You are smoking. Put together a dossier, will you, and send it to me. You know,
wow.
This guy's done his homework.
I don't know that Major League Baseball is going to suspend anybody a year over this, but they're going to, you know, going back to what Russo said, it's right. Until they crack down on somebody, and they haven't done it since they did it to the Red Sox 2 years ago.
That was nothing.
There was nothing.
And they were red-handed on that. This was electronics.
I mean, this is, and Zoe, you said it too. This is in-game.
This is in-game affecting the
this
game.
This is worse.
That
and if
stuff
Alex
I look
Cora
at
was involved in it, it's that's yeah. really, really bad.
And knowing Bill... And watching Bill work two computers at once and his ability to consume information and have a pencil behind his ear and never sleep, talking about Belichick. That stuff, to me, that other stuff is like edges in scouting. Like, we're filming MLK. We get all this stuff down. We know what they're doing on third down. It's impossible to almost match that up in-game to where you know what play was being called offensively to get the exact perfect defense out.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, this is just...
Because you couldn't do it in 40 seconds and everybody match up 22 guys.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's nothing admirable about this.
This is pitcher versus hitter.
Yeah. This is lazy. This is lazy and blatant.
Get going, Rob, now.
George, you've been holding a long time. I wanted to get your Pat's Eagles thought in here before we get too far away from you. Go ahead, George.
Hello, George.
How you doing?
Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Listen. I want to touch on a Super Bowl 51. Everybody's been blaming Butler for the loss.
Two.
And I've been listening to you guys for go ahead.
52, Super Bowl 52.
Or 52, I'm sorry. But I haven't heard anybody lay any of the blame whatsoever on Matt Patricia. This guy was so busy getting the Detroit Lion head coaching job, he forgot to get this defense ready to play. And the way that Tom Brady was playing in that football game, we should have blew the Eagles off the field. That's what I think.
I would support that theory, except when he got to Detroit, he sucked. Yeah, last year was not a good year for Matt Patricia. So if that were the case, why weren't they better in Detroit? And why was he so inept even in the first camp? We're gonna talk Pat's Eagles with Dan here coming up here in a few minutes. A couple more Astros calls here. Dan in Boston has a thought. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys, I want to get your thought on this just because, you know, if you have these pitchers like a Verlander, a Scherzer, those guys are really dominant. And I loved Mad Dog Russo's comment about, you know, getting out there and you should be ashamed of yourself if you have to look up something on an iPad to know if curveball is coming. If those guys are on their game, they're throwing lights out and good luck trying to hit it anyway.
Yep.
But it's this new wave of ace. It's this new wave, David Price, Clayton Kershaw, you know, all these types of diva pitchers that we talk about that take 40 seconds to throw a pitch. You know, you're adding fuel to the in-game fire for people to find
That's
this information out. You're allowing these teams to doctor and look at these things because you're giving them a lot of time.
That's a good point. Labor, the ability to labor during a game, and you dig in better, and now all of a sudden I got more time to study this and develop patterns as opposed to guys that work quickly. I like that.
Yeah, and there's another little factoid here. Jeff Passan of The Athletic has a story that's out there now in which the interviews that are going on, MLB sources told ESPN, spoke Wednesday with former Astros bullpen coach Craig Bjornsson, who joined the Red Sox with Cora in 2018. So they have interviewed Cora and the bullpen coach from the Astros of 17, and Bjornsson is came to the Red Sox with Cora in 18.
The Red Sox couldn't use any of this to make them better this year. Unbelievable.
Well, there's stories out that they really cracked down in the 2019 season.
Yeah.
That all, you know, throughout.
Then they said enough is enough finally at that point and started looking at it. But until teams are punished for it, then I really don't know. You know, the fact they're cracking down, they can't stay that cracked down on all this stuff. Eventually, someone's going to find, oh, they're really not watching that much anymore. Now we can go back to doing what we were doing. Another call or two on the Red Sox. We got to talk to Dan about the Eagles and the Pats, about the Celtics. A lot more to get to here with Dan Shaughnessy and Zolak and Bertrand.
Stronger Mastery joint.
Zolak and Bertrand beat a lot today. Now he's sending photos from the doctor's office, which I'm
too
sure
much
getting off of Google image searches to prove that he's really sick today.
Jim, like, way too many texts, too much information.
Hey, Beetle, if you're gonna send
not much information, just pictures.
Well, photographic evidence that you're there. Try not to have the Getty images, you know, ghost print in the background. That's kind of a dead giveaway.
2017 calendar in the background is not good.
No watermarks on the pictures.
The calendar, the dead giveaway, Midnight Run. Here, hold this up. That way, I know I took it today. Sometimes I amaze myself. Don't do this, Marvin. Chris in Hartford, what do you have for us? Dan Shaughnessy's here talking Red Sox and the Astros. What do you got?
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, question for Dan. Dan, I called last week about the lack of running for the Red Sox, and I asked you if you wrote an article. You actually wrote an article October 7th, 2018. It said the Red Sox need to be tougher to beat the Yankees. The first line was the Red Sox need to start stealing bases. They stole 125 in 2018 with an 80% success rate, number one in Major League Baseball. Last week you told me that they got thrown out a bunch of times. They were third in all of baseball stealing bases. Last year they were 17th. 18, Betts, Benintendi, Bradley, career records. You also said that in front of Betts, Bradley had to get on base. He had a better on base last year. My point is,
that's relative.
Am I speaking factoid, or was your article a factoid, sir?
I don't know. You've kind of lost me with my own stuff here.
I lost like
you made McCone's eyes glass over 10 seconds into that call.
I started drooling 10 seconds
Everyone's
in.
Heads exploded. I remember the one I tried to get them fired up after their dead-ass performance at home against the Yanks, and then they went out and scored. They went 19-1 in Game 3, so I'll take some credit for lighting a fire under them. But I don't remember any of that, nor do I care about it, frankly.
Dan, you wrote at halftime of the Patriots Super Bowl against the Falcons, you didn't think they were going to win.
They were losing 28-3.
And they won.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about that now?
Then you printed those papers and got out.
Yeah, really.
Early edition ones.
Spent so much time on that, really.
Yeah.
That's what I thought at the time, as Bill Parcells once said.
All right. Now that that's out of the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to ask you some stuff, and I want to give you plenty of lead time on this. Mm-hmm. There was another in-depth article published earlier this week about how Americans really feel about Thanksgiving dinner. Percentages in terms of the major components of Thanksgiving and what those percentage of people say about those foods.
I'm going to need some holiday music to do this.
If they only eat them at that time of year, if they generally don't like them. So And Jim and I have already predicted what type of Thanksgiving person you are.
Mm-hmm. You put the tree up yet?
No.
So just be thinking about that. We're going to get to that. I'm thinking 12:20, Jim.
Okay.
Is everybody good with 12:20?
I'm good with that.
I was thinking 12.
We can do it next if you want to.
No, just do a super tease. Do the 12. I see what you're doing. Super tease it.
Yeah, super tease, 12:20.
Okay.
The Celtics.
Zoe just came up with a new radio term.
Super tease?
The super tease.
Super tease.
Two segments ahead.
Yeah, 2 segments ahead. 12:20.
Why don't you hit the poster?
I'll hit the post.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.